The following is a classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We are pleased to return to it today due to the strong response it received when we first brought it to you. So sit back now and enjoy this encore presentation of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Ann Crane.
And I'm Ryan Dobson, and your host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And Dad, why don't you get us started today?
Well, we're pleased to have Pastor Kerry Shook back with us. He's a senior pastor of Woodlands Church outside of Houston, Texas, where they have an estimated 17,000 people who gather every weekend at various locations. Pastor, this is your third program with us. You're getting to be a regular here.
Yes. And, we love it. You know, we've learned so much from you over the years, Dr. Dobson, that we've applied, and it's just an honor to be with you.
Well, you and Chris came out a couple of years ago and did a great program with us, but now you've brought your two sons with you. We did a program last time on the subject that we want to pick up with today, because there's good stuff here. And let me introduce your sons. They are Ryan and Josh Shook. Ryan is 24 years old, a graduate of Baylor University. He's an active blogger and a filmmaker whose videos are used in churches and schools nationwide. And Ryan and his wife, Sarah, are based in Los Angeles, California. Josh is just 1 year younger at the age of 23. He's a musician and a recent graduate of Belmont University. What did you major in?
Business and music production.
That's why you make your home in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Well, the two of you have written an outstanding book. I'm holding it in my hand. In fact, it's only been out a short time. It's called First Hand by Ryan and Josh Shook, and the subtitle tells it all. It's Ditching Secondhand Religion for a Faith of Your Own. And what we're really talking about is the struggle that often occurs when children grow up in devoutly Christian homes, a pastor's home, or my home, or those of others who are really trying to serve the Lord. And the kids come up through adolescence and go off to college, if they do go to college, and then go through a struggle, a time of real questioning about what they believe and whether it's real, and a time of doubt and a time of trying to make the transition from my parents' faith to my faith. And sometimes that's a bumpy journey. And these two gentlemen have been through that, having grown up in a pastor's home, and now they've written a book to help millennials work through that same thing. Ryan, I want to start with a sensitive subject. You talked about lust in this book and about your struggle with it and how, if I can put it in my own words, you felt like it was very difficult to obey this Lord because there is something inside you that was leading to what you would consider and I would consider to be impure thoughts. Can you elaborate on that? Is that too sensitive to talk about?
No, I think that's something that we all, that many teenagers and in many different ages struggle with. And I remember my own personal experience of being in high school and being in public school, and you're bombarded with all these different messages in media and TV and movies and music that say that
it's really pervasive.
It is. It is. It's such a pervasive culture, and it almost seems like you're supposed to be able to, you know, look at the opposite sex in a way that is perverse or inappropriate. And I remember knowing because I was a Christian, I knew that it was wrong to have impure thoughts or thoughts about girls that weren't that were sexual or just kind of wrong. And I remember trying to hide those feelings and hide those thoughts and bury them down and act like I never had them, act like I was kind of a perfect Christian church kid, which made it even more kind of sinister and grow in my heart even more. And it led to an addiction to pornography and struggling with those sexual thoughts that you knew that were wrong, but you kept going back to, like an addiction that we all – and I think it's something that's really common, not just to guys but also girls, and it's really pervasive in our culture today.
It's nearly everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I have been a fighter of pornography for 25, 30 years because I've seen what it does to individuals and what it does to marriages.
Yeah.
I mean, you get hooked on that stuff and it doesn't go away when you get married. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there and it's with you and you have to really be intentional about getting over it. But many young people in the church, I think, do struggle with it. Ryan, I don't know whether this will be helpful to you or not, but it was to me. Do you know the difference between lust and temptation?
I'm not sure I do.
It's a very important distinction. Temptation is not sin. Right, Pastor?
Definitely.
I mean, Jesus was tempted, and he never sinned. He was sinless. Yet he was tempted, and you have to assume that Satan was offering him things that sounded good to him, or it wouldn't have been temptation.
Right.
You know, he was offering him an easy road instead of the cross, and it was temptation. And Jesus responded with Scripture and said, "Get behind me, Satan." So temptation is not wrong. Looking at a girl who is attractive involves temptation. But lust takes it one step further. In fact, the book of James says, lust, when it hath conceived, leads to sin. What is that conception? Mm. What happens when lust has conceived? I think it's when temptation goes over the line to deal with the will. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the willingness to disobey God, when you say in your heart, I will do what I know is sinful and wrong, it doesn't really matter whether you ever do it or not. That's sin. And Jesus was referring to that when he said that he that looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart. He didn't say he that looketh on a woman to be tempted by her, because you're made that way.
Right.
There is a hormonal base for that. Mm-hmm. You didn't design that. God did it.
Sure.
But it's when you begin to say, if I get a chance, I'll take her.
Yeah, and yeah, I think the problem is that it's so easy to cross that bridge now in our society because of, you know, computer, you know, pornography, all these things that are just so available at a click. And when I was growing up, I mean, you know, you'd have to go down to the store and buy a Playboy magazine or something, and that's not, you know, that's a difficult thing to do for a teenager in a Christian home, or a little more anyway. Or you'd have to grab the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue when it came.
Now it's just a click away.
But yeah, to make that willful choice is a lot easier now, and then sin is, you know, takes hold, and if you're not careful, it takes you down that
road. It'll grab you and maybe hold you for life.
And, Doctor, before we leave this, just as the female voice at the table, I'm raising three sons right now, and as awkward as it is, I think it's important for my sons to know that I know that this is a very real struggle.
Exactly.
Because it brings such shame, and I can't imagine anybody worse than your mom that you would want to think about these issues with. I mean, seriously.
Sure.
And I've been very convicted that if I'm the one to initiate it, or in some way if it comes up or there's something provocative on, if I indicate, gosh, it must be hard for you guys these days because, you know, the Lord made you like this. And I just open that up and reassure them that they're not sinful or evil for having those temptation thoughts. Yeah. I think the voice of a mom or a sister in someone's life like this is key.
You have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you did, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
I think one thing that my parents really did that really helped me with this struggle and is that they really, you know, I was so embarrassed, you know, like, you know, I think the fact that, you know, sin has power over us when it's in the dark, and I think that especially with the computer and everything, you can just get away with anything, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you just don't, you have to.
You can almost not avoid it.
Yeah, you don't avoid it, and then you don't have to be like, oh, if, like, I hope no one sees me if I go here or anything like that. It's like, no one will know, and it's like, and that, even that reality of it makes it so much easier to just fall into that. But I was so embarrassed when
I first talked to my mom and dad about it, and because I think they found something on the computer is what happened. And not to throw you under the bus, Ryan, but I remember we had talked about it before, and my mom and dad were like, "No, Ryan, we found some stuff on Josh's computer. It's totally fine. Everyone struggles with this." And you were like, "No, I don't. Nope, don't struggle with that at all. Not a big deal."
Sure.
Yeah, no, it was just funny. Well,
yeah,
those definitely. Early teenage years.
Yeah. No, but no, sorry about that. No.
they can take that out in post. But it's a struggle. It's a struggle that so many of us, you know, that even if we see other people struggling with it, we try to hide it ourselves.
Yeah.
And also, it's I think that
shame.
Exactly.
Satan tries to shame you instead of going to grace.
Yeah, it's shame. And there's also another thing that isn't mentioned a lot is that there are a lot of women that also struggle with pornography. And on the flip side of men struggling with it, it also kind of directly impacts so many women in our lives whether you know them directly or not and how they dress and how they act. And it just, like you said, Dr. Dobson, it is such a pervasive culture of sexuality that seems to really, be pulling us down.
And yet there's that scripture that says, you alluded to it, Josh, have nothing to do with the evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Yeah.
And there is truth and freedom in the light.
And that's what I think I'm most thankful for with my parents and with this issue is that they said, it's like, every guy struggles with this. Everyone struggles with this. Like being ashamed of it and not talking about it, is only going to make it worse. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like we can, as your parents, we love you all the same. We know we're like God's big enough for this. And, let's just move forward. Mm-hmm. And that was a relief that it wasn't a big, shameful deal.
Yeah.
They were just
Pastor Shook, so many adults have so much maturing to do. For a day and a half now, we've heard from your sons how really you and Chris responded beautifully and with a grace-based atmosphere. I know we're speaking to someone who says, well, fat chance if I try that. You haven't met my dad. You haven't met my mom. If I dared to go to them vulnerable and broken like this, I think I'd be kicked out of the house. Mm. That's a very real issue. Speak to that parent right now who might be a little convicted that, ooh, I think that was me.
Yeah, I think that, parents love their kids. For the most parents do want their kids to grow up to become all that God wants them to be. But I think it's scary for parents. I know even for us, it was scary when they begin to have doubts and questions and go through the struggles. But I think parents have to come to the conclusion of what God's word says, that you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And our kids have hypocrisy detectors that are so sensitive. Mm-hmm. And the best thing you can do as a parent when your kids are going through these struggles is to be honest and to be open and truthful, because they can detect it when we're not. And I think for those parents who are going to have that hard line to say, if you're going to struggle with this, you're out of my house, I think those parents are being more like the Pharisees and not really admitting how desperately they need the Lord's grace and strength every day. We all need the Lord's grace. We all need the Lord's mercy every day. And the Pharisees, the problem they had was they didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. They thought that they had it all together. And Jesus said, I've come not for those who are healthy, but for those who are sick.
Yeah.
And basically he was saying, I've come for those to heal those who know they need healing. And the only people who ever get forgiven are those who know they need it. And I think for parents, we have to humble ourselves and realize that our kids are the ones who, are leading the way sometimes, being honest.
Josh and Ryan, your book, Firsthand, Ditching Secondhand Religion for a Faith of Your Own, implies that you're saying things in here that they can implement. There are action items in here. We've already talked about one of them, talking to somebody you trust, somebody that will honor the vulnerability that you're bringing to them. What else can they do to ditch a secondhand religion?
Well, yeah, one of the first and most important things to ditch secondhand religion, or ways you can help your child ditch secondhand religion, is by being honest, like we've talked about. another really great way that we talk about in the book is how do you practically help your child find the values that are really biblical and Christian and that can grow their faith. And one of the ways is helping them to trash that checklist of rules. If you've grown up in the church, a lot of people have this idea that if they go to church, read the Bible, do the right things, then that's a relationship. But the truth is there's a real difference between rules and relationship. And even though those biblical disciplines can be so helpful to build that relationship, the core of your experience as a Christian is meant to be based in an intimate relationship with Christ. So we always encourage parents, help your child ditch that rules. Don't make it about rules. Don't make it about a checklist. Make it about them connecting with Christ.
All right, but let's talk to the millennial. What do you say to them about how to find that relationship with Christ?
Well, Josh, you talk about how we hear in church all the time, it's about a relationship. Well, what does that mean? How do I find that unique individual relationship? For me, we realize that everyone's designed uniquely. We all have unique gifts, talents, abilities, and passions. Yeah. One of the things that Josh and I realize, we have different personalities. So I enjoy spending time with Christ by being out in nature, by hiking, by just being able to spend that one-on-one time with Him. Yes, there are a lot of disciplines that are really good that apply to all of us, but you have to acknowledge that unique, the way that God has designed you is unique compared to everyone else.
So kind of meditation within the beauty of things that God has created.
Yeah. For Ryan, that's what he really resonates with, and that's always been really cool.
Yours music?
It is. It is.
I knew it.
Guilty. But I thought that was so cool because Ryan was like, when I get to just jog, when I do that every morning, that's like my routine. That's when I really listen to God. I talk about, prayer and spending time in the Word, which is so important. But, for Ryan, he's like, that's my time to just, there's something very biblical about just taking that time to listen to God and to kind of, meditate on that, think over thing. And for Ryan, that's a really important part of his routine, which is something I think is really cool.
And also the idea of ownership. I think a lot of people are in our generation see our parents in church doing worship, doing different ministries, and we say we're not a part of that. It's not our style. We encourage our generation, the millennials, well, look, yes, it might not be your style, but how can you get involved in the church? How can you get involved in a ministry that is making a difference? And that's one way that we really encourage people. Mm-hmm. Look, just because a ministry doesn't exist that you think should be there doesn't mean you can criticize it. We want you to, instead of criticizing the church, get involved,
I think that's a huge part of what Ryan and I have really learned is that when there's so many millennials today and you look at the church and the church is a group of imperfect people and the church has failed and hurt a lot of people. And I think that's totally fine. But I know we used to confuse our relationship with God with our role in the church. And the role of the church is, how can this whole Christianity thing be real if this church is so broken and imperfect in so many things that I don't know about this, and the things that I don't know if I agree with. But just like anything, it kind of revealed to Ryan and I how much pride we kind of had of, oh, we know how to do things right. Mm-hmm. And so there'd be things in the church, like, we have a lot of friends who say, I'm not into the whole church thing. My church is just being with my friends. And, I can be spiritual with the Lord without going to church. And even though you can have a relationship with the Lord without going to church, you're really missing out, Ryan and I believe, of being a part of a body that'll make an impact for eternity.
Yeah. Sure.
And it really, the way you grow in your faith is by working with people who you wouldn't necessarily get along with at first, who would really challenge you and stretch you. And so
the Apostle Paul said, forsake not the assembling together.
Yeah.
He said to come together. I assume that means in our context, the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you develop that close, passionate relationship with Jesus Christ without giving to others. Well, when you really sacrifice yourself to care for somebody who's lonely, somebody who can't do anything for you in return. Mm-hmm. There was a young man in our church that was blind, and he would stand at the door as people came in and listen for a voice that was familiar so he'd have someone to sit with. Mm-hmm. And yet people would walk right past him.
Mm-hmm.
And it really touched my heart because that's what he most needed was for us to put an arm around him.
Yes.
And when you begin to give to others, bring others into the fellowship of the faith, then you start growing in your relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Josh, Ryan, let me ask you both a question, because we're talking about millennials. And to me, it seems that millennials view experts with a negative light. You know, someone that's been there and done that and written books and done studies, that there's a generation that's going to their friends, they're going online, but for some reason, going to your parents, going to a pastor, going to a quote-unquote expert is viewed negatively. Do I have that wrong, or is that kind of something that people are dealing with?
I think that's a great observation, Ryan. Yeah, I think it's interesting the way that our generation has we connect with each other on social media, and it's all about who you know personally, not about, you know, the expert that's giving you the really sound information. I think that's an interesting observation, but the truth is that the experts really are the ones that have really researched it, spent time in it. You know, I think people with organizations like Family Talk, it's like the resources that are provided, the insights that are provided are so valuable. But how do you keep that relational? That's why what you do on social media is so powerful, because you're making it not just from an expert perspective, but you're also talking relationally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. And I think churches, I think it goes twofold, that so many churches exclude the millennials. And because we're just in human nature, we're selfish, and we do what we want and what we like, and this is the best way. And so, and they're not looking to put millennials in leadership and to really let them have a voice. But then I see a lot of millennials who, and we all go through this at this age, pride, they just kind of sit back and criticize, but they never jump in and get involved. And I'm so proud of Ryan and Josh for doing that. I know Josh brought to me a couple of years ago, he said, you know, the music that we do, the worship we do at our church, I like it, it's fine, but it's not my style. And so, you know, I worship better with some other types of music. And then what happened, Josh, with that?
Well, that was kind of you calling me out, which is great. I was just talking to my dad about how, for better or worse, just how I felt. I was like, I don't know why, but I've just been really frustrated with worship in church lately, because I feel like whether, you know, and this isn't an attack on any, you know, Christian writer or singer or anything, or
no,
any of
course,
that music,
yeah.
but I was just like, I just feel like this is just not good. Like, this just doesn't resonate with me. This isn't, you know, truthful. Yeah, it just seemed very superficial. I thought, like, or just on a music aspect, like, oh, this is so simple because it has to be taught by so many, you know, so many churches have to play it, you know, like, and...
Oh, I've never thought about
that.
Yeah,
and
people write simple songs because it's had to be played by so many different people.
Oh, yeah, they have to be played
by... But then what did Dad say to you when you presented that criticism?
Oh, yeah, and he was like, well, you should probably, you know, come to the church and lead worship and stuff and write some stuff. And I was like, well, I don't know. No, that's not what I want to do, you know.
I said, God has put that, you know, really, yeah. That's from the Lord. Rather than me saying, you're so proud, you don't know what you're talking about, I said, well, that means that God's put that holy discontent, yeah. That disturbance in your heart because he wants you to do something about it.
That was the thing that really struck me. He said, you know, he called it a divine disturbance, which I thought was, you know,
you talk about that.
Yeah,
in your
exactly.
Book,
that's one of the chapters, and that was directly inspired by that because, you know, when God puts those divine disturbances in my heart, like my dad was saying with music, for me, it was, you know, we need to act on that. That means he's called you to meet a need. You know, he's disturbed your heart to a need that he's gifted you to meet, and if you don't act on it, you'll just get bitter about it, mm-hmm. and you just will criticize.
Be critical.
Yeah.
Well, our time is gone again. Man, these programs go in a hurry. Our guests have been Pastor Kerry Shook, and his two sons, Ryan and Josh, and they have written this book firsthand by Ryan and Josh Shook, Ditching Secondhand Religion for a Faith of Your Own. And on the cover at the top, Pastor Rick Warren has written this endorsement. Ryan and Josh Shook will challenge you to never settle for a secondhand religion, but instead develop a personal faith that transforms your life. Mm. If you are a millennial or you have heard things today that relate to your life, get a copy of this book, mm-hmm. and you'll find help in it. And I thank you guys for having the courage to open yourselves to your own flaws, your own shortcomings, and your own struggles. And guys, come back and see us again, mm-hmm. will you?
Thank you. We'd love to.
All right. Keep writing.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And singing.
Yeah.
I will.
And we look forward to that. Again, you can find out how to request a copy of Firsthand by visiting us at drjamesdobson.org. And you can also get information on their church-wide or student challenge kits that are available with that book as well.
And at the beginning of the program, we mentioned that Ryan Shook is a filmmaker in Los Angeles. And we'll have a link at our website to his film, Empty, which he created to help others find real purpose and fulfillment in life. It's being shown in churches and youth groups across the country, and it's really a great resource for your church or youth group.
You do need to check that out. Very quickly here in the close, if you are able to partner with us here at Family Talk, we would appreciate your donation either online at drjamesdobson.org or via our Facebook app or even by phone by calling 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for being with us today, and join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.